And welcome to another edition of the Valley Talk program on KROX. And tomorrow we will have a special election in Polk County for Polk County Commissioner District 1. And we are joined by one of those that are running for that, or one of the finalists from the, there was an election, what was it, a month?
It was in May.
May, there we go. Seems like it was just a month ago.
Oh, no.
We are joined by Michelle Cody, and we did reach out to both candidates, and Michelle was the only one to take us up on the offer to be on the Valley Talk program. So, first of all, thanks for coming in. And first, for maybe people that aren't familiar with you that are listening, tell us a little about yourself.
Well, good morning, and thank you for having me. I really appreciate the offer to come and visit with you today. Like Chris said, my name is Michelle Cody, and I am one of the finalists for our open county commissioner seat. If you don't know me, I have been on Valley Talk before. In my former position, I worked for 34 years for Polk County. In my final 16 or so years with Polk County, I was the recorder, the auditor, the treasurer. I managed the license center. I had my hands in a lot of different things. So I retired in August of 2022.
And how has retirement gone?
Retirement is really good, really good. But this position came open. Our seated commissioner, his name was Jerry Jacobson. He passed away in January of 2023, which has created a whole special election cycle. It is something that I've actually always thought about. Part of my role with the county was I sat with the commissioners. I took the minutes at the meetings. So I was a very visible part of their interactions at the county, and it was something that I always thought that I would be good at. Mm-hmm. With all of the things that I know, from taxes to assessments to all the nuances of local government, I thought it would be something that I could continue to give back to the community with.
And that's one thing I've noticed from sitting in, whether it's city council meetings, Polk County Commissioner meetings, covering it just as a news person, but there's so much more than we're able to report, just the discussion, the information that even we, the packets alone, there's a wealth of information, and there's so much going on in the county.
There is. As a commissioner, their packets that they receive the week before the meeting can be anywhere from 100 to 300 pages, so there's always a lot of reading to do to be well prepared. The things that appear before them are varied, you know, whether it's public safety, public health, whether it's contractual things from vehicles to ditches, you know, the things that appear before them are wide and varied. And each commissioner sits on 6 to 10 subcommittees. So actually one of the most informative parts of the meeting is when it's called the forum, where each commissioner reports back as to the committees that they have met with since the prior meeting. And then it's also very interesting when they talk about the calls of concerns that they've had. They each have some, where taxpayers or residents have called in with concerns, wondering, can this be fixed, or how can you deal with this, or just what to do. So they're busy. Mm-hmm. They invest a significant amount of time in being a commissioner.
And that's one thing with the time commitment to people just, well, there's three meetings a month. There's so much more than
there,
that.
There is. It, you know, typically I think a commissioner can, if they're active and involved, they can spend anywhere from 25 to 30 hours a week being a commissioner, whether it's prepping for the meeting or their subcommittees, or just being out in the community, being visible. So whether it's attending council meetings or improvement district meetings, you know, they need to be active so that they're aware of things going on.
In District 1, that includes a portion of Crookston.
It does. It includes wards 1 and 5 here in Crookston, and then it swings down to the Norman County line. It encompasses Fertile. It encompasses all of Maple Lake. About half of Union swings up to Mentor and back this way. So it does include about 3,200 voters, but geographic-wise, it's a pretty wide area. And diverse. You know, there's a lot of different things that are happening within the district.
And with your, I guess, what makes you qualified to be county commissioner? Obviously, you mentioned quite a bit of it already.
I think there's many things that can make a good commissioner. You know, one is the willingness to serve and the time to do it well. What makes me a little unique is I do have a local government background. So when somebody wants to talk about taxes, I can really be helpful in peeling back the layers as to what is causing a tax increase, where is it coming from, whether it's the budgetary aspect, the levy. You know, there's so many facets to a tax statement. Mm-hmm. You know, that makes me somewhat unique, is the ability to help in that manner.
And taxes, I'm sure that's one of the, especially certain times of year, that's always a hot topic.
As I went around, I did a lot of door knocking. I really like the face-to-face aspect of it. I think that people can gauge me as a candidate, and you can kind of get a sense of what is concerning to them. Different pockets of area, as I went around the Maple Lake area, something that is very concerning to them is their values taxes. They also have some planning and zoning concerns. That was very prevalent as I went around, and I was listening. As I went around here in Crookston, I think I spent over 8 days knocking on doors in Crookston. That was a concern as well. In fact, I spent some time with a gentleman at his kitchen table, and we had 3 years of tax statements out, and we were walking through the different years and to what had happened. So that was nice that I could help in that aspect and point him in the right direction to get some answers. Sometimes when I was here in Crookston, some of the things I heard were more tied to the city and things that were going on here in the city, but it's also just being a good liaison between the city and the county, knowing what's going on to be able to alleviate concerns, point them in the right direction. So I think that's what makes me unique as a candidate.
And that's one thing, you represent the county. You can't change exactly, well, for the most part, what happens with the city.
No.
But you do have close working relationships.
That is correct. Like all of the cities, whether it's Beltrami or Mentor, Fertile, or Crookston, you know, they all have a relationship with the county, and that relationship is more with the offices. Mm-hmm. You know, they have a relationship like with finance, where the tax dollars trickle through. They have a relationship with the assessor's office. They have a relationship with the service center when it's for election equipment and training, those things. You know, so their relationship with the commissioners per se is more of a collaborative type nature. They are independent units of government, and they're not necessarily woven together. So they function independently of each other. But it's just being a good steward of all of the information and helping to make things happen.
This is a question that gets asked a lot for people running for office, and it's not as easy as getting into office and changing things. You can't. That's not usually how it works, but what would you like to see maybe worked on?
I think, you know, as they're coming up on the budgets, you know, I've been attending most of the county board meetings since March. I think it's very important to, as a candidate, to know what's coming before them. So I've been to a lot of meetings paying attention to what's coming before them, and they're already talking about the 2024 budget. So as we are in a time of where we're seeing pretty significant inflation, whether we're seeing it at the gas pump, which we saw last week, we saw some pretty steady hikes last week, whether it's, you know, at the grocery store, we're all impacted by inflation. So being a good steward of the county dollars and budgets, I think is really, really important. 'Cause the decisions they make at that table impact every single taxpayer.
And that's the catch-22. You don't want to cut stuff unless it's absolutely necessary, because if, let's just say road projects, you wait one extra year, that could be the difference of hundreds of thousands of dollars more.
It could. It's finding the right, you know, whether it's road projects or ditch projects or personnel, it's finding the right balance for the services that they need to provide. You know, as we look at law enforcement right now, you know, that's usually something that weighs heavy on people as to what has happened in our Fargo-Moorhead area. You know, so when you think about cutting, you know, our public safety budget, it just kind of gets you right in the gut. People and people need to feel safe. So it's finding the right balance of deputies for our population, the crime issues that we have or don't have. You know, it's making sure that we're appropriately covered and making people feel safe.
Have you heard anybody say that we should cut in the safety department?
I have not.
No, I think in this neck of the woods, people will, they're happy to have taxpayers going to the sheriffs, the police departments, the fire departments.
Yes, and when you think about coverage, you know, it's finding the appropriate coverage. Even, you know, when you, for me, I don't live here in Crookston, so if I need assistance or I'm going to dial 911, it's depending on where a deputy is at night, it could be 20 minutes to 30 minutes before somebody can get to us. You know, so when we live in a rural area, we have to think about those kinds of things. I do know that, like with any employer, our sheriff's department is, they're down several deputies. And I think, you know, that's problematic with any employer, any employer at all. We're all seeing those struggles of finding qualified people who want to work.
What do you want the public to know, especially in District 1, where people will be voting tomorrow?
I really would like people to know that I am open, honest, hardworking, and that I will be a very strong advocate for our residents in District 1. That's really what I want people to know.
And with that being said, just from the experience you have working closely with the commissioners, one thing I think you would be the first to admit in Polk County, we have a lot of very good department heads.
We do. They all work very hard and they work together. Mm-hmm. Whether it's the service center, whether it's public safety, whether it's public works, you know, the county works very hard to give people the most for their dollars. And, you know, that's a good place to step into. Where when you know that. That being said, you know, there are always things that, you know, as we look at budgets that can be done differently. Mm-hmm. And you are just one person at the table. You are just one of five. And so it very much becomes a collaborative effort to work with your fellow commissioners, because what's important to me might not be as important to somebody else, and what's important to them might not be as high on my radar. So it's you have to work as a team.
And that's the thing that is interesting at commissioner meetings is one of the commissioners will say, I heard that one of my constituents said this, probably, and then looked into it, and then you find out more. And that's important for the residents to talk to the commissioners. And if they do have a question or a problem, to let them know as soon as possible.
Absolutely. You know, it's an open line of communication. A commissioner doesn't know there's an issue until somebody tells them or makes a call or an email with concerns. So, I mean, that's a great thing. People need to feel comfortable to reach out to their commissioner. That's what they're there for.
Yeah, and I didn't realize how important ditch until I started working here. I'm from in town, so ditches aren't a big thing to me, but very important for farmers and also just drainage and the soil and water conservation districts. And ditches are very important to the county.
They are sort of the foundation of our ag. Mm-hmm. Of our agricultural area, you know, the ability to retain water or get rid of water is huge. We do see a lot of tiling projects going on, which makes the producer more able to control the water. It's a good thing. Mm-hmm. We typically have things on the agenda, you know, at least a couple times a month that, you know, whether it's ditch maintenance or a cleaning, you know, those types of things. So, yeah, the ditch issues do come before the commissioners pretty frequently.
Yeah, they do. And it seems like there's always something going on around the county as far as building, which is always good.
Yes, you know, from what the county owns, they're trying to be good stewards of the buildings that they have. You know, I think they're on the tail end of their the Red River Valley Juvenile Center, where they had a roof collapse. So they are on the tail end of that process. And that was a big deal because we had kids that had to be housed in other places. So, yeah, I do know that they're finishing that project, and they're talking about doing the roof on the government center. It's being a good steward of the buildings that they have.
Mm-hmm. And that's important, too.
Absolutely. Yeah,
keep them up. So, again, voting is the normal hours tomorrow. And in Crookston, the wards that can vote tomorrow for District 1 are?
1 and 5.
So if you're in Ward 1 or Ward 5, you can vote for District 1 County Commissioner. And we'll have more information on that tomorrow as well, right away in our newscast, so they can be listening for that. And then the other places, other cities and areas that are involved in District 1?
So there are 5 active polling places on Election Day. There are 16 precincts within this Commissioner District 1. Mm-hmm. 5 of them have active polling places. The other 11 are mail ballot. So if somebody is in a mail ballot precinct, to get their vote in so that it counts, they will need to bring it to the government center tomorrow, and they will be able to accept ballots until they're actually considered the polling place. Mm-hmm. So they will be able to accept ballots till 8 p.m.
Okay.
And the other 5 active polling places are 1 and 5, I believe, are at the Presbyterian Church here in town. Yeah. There's Woodside Township, and they have Woodside Town Hall. It's out on County Road 10. There is the City of Fertile. It is at their community center. And there's Garfield Township, which is their Garfield Town Hall. All of those are active polling places and will be open from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. when the polls close.
Sounds like you know something about elections.
Just a little.
Anything you want to add before we wrap it up?
Thank you again for having me today. I really appreciate the opportunity to visit with you and your listeners. And, you know, anybody can reach me at any time. I'll throw out my cell phone number in case anybody has any questions. It's 218-289-1239.
All right. Thanks for coming in, and thanks for putting yourself out there. I know it's a lot of work, and it's voting takes place tomorrow, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. at the 5 polling places. And if you're in Crookston, again, Wards 1 and Wards 5 get to vote for District 1. And then, Gary Wilhite is the rest of the town.
Correct.
Yeah, he represents that part.
Yes, he has some township north of Crookston, sure. And he has the remaining 4 wards.
Okay, so there you go. Get on out and vote tomorrow for the special election. And it'll be Michelle Cody and Paul Reese will be running. They're the 2 finalists for that District 1 spot. We'll be coming up here on 11 o'clock. We're about just over a minute away. Tomorrow on our Valley Talk program, we're going to have, somebody I know pretty well, Macy Fee, Miss Crookston 2022, will come in to talk about her platform and the year that was. And we'll also discuss the big change that Miss Crookston is going to be having this year. They are going to be having their pageant on Monday, the 14th. They're going to have it on Monday this year, and we have the story on Friday, but you can find out more about that. Then on Wednesday, we'll have Melanie Lessard talking about some of the Oxcart Days events that she'll be having. And then on Thursday, we will have Rachel Brandt from Senior Meals Programs. They have a lot of stuff going on in Crookston. We'll tell you about that. And then on Friday, the 11th, we'll have the Miss Crookston pageants, the 6 contestants that are vying for Miss Crookston 2023. We'll have them live in studio here on Friday. And then next Monday, we have Kurt Ellison from Polk County and Red Lake County Veterans Affairs. And then on the 15th, we'll have Miss Crookston 2023 to talk about Monday night's, the Miss Crookston pageant. It's the 11 o'clock. It's now time for our world and national news from Westwood One on the Voice of the Valley, AM 1260, KROX in Crookston, Minnesota.